work or realizations and understanding within those practitioners' mind stream. With the lamas and Buddhas, with one's teachers and Buddhas, there is not any what called taking practice to be done, because they haven't got any sufferings and causes of suffering. But still, with the lamas and Buddhas, one can do the practice of giving. And how that is done is, whatever virtuous merits one has accumulated, one thing that these virtues and merits in the aspect of different offering substances like a victory banner, golden parasol, celestial mansions, and all sort of different offerings, one visualizes being offered to the Buddhas and Lamas, and also one can visualize one's merits and virtues being transformed into factors which help the Lamas and Buddhas to do the welfare of other sentient beings, assist them in doing the welfare of sentient beings by whatever offerings one make. And also the practice of giving of one's merit and the virtue being transformed can also be done with the intentional purpose for long life or stable life of lamas and Buddhas. So that meaning continuous appearance in the universe. Have also another practice of giving, which to explain about that. Firstly, let's say there are a whole lot of different kinds of sentient beings who inflict harm on us when we do practices, and those who inflict harm and who who hinder us in our practice, they can be a whole lot of different. They can be humans, they can be non-humans, normally called spirits, and so forth. And for those type of sentient beings, there is a separate way of doing the giving, specially meant for them. So before one starts that practice specially meant for those group of sentient beings who inflict harm on us, before one starts doing that practice, firstly, one's intentional motivation has to be by love and compassion, and especially by love. So when one does the intentional motivation, trying to generate a loving or cold attitude for them, how that is done is, let's say, this is a situation normally that there are a whole lot of different sentient beings who harm, and those whom we can see, they can be grouped into humans and non-humans, but still there are a whole lot of other, another category who we don't see, and invisible ones. So who we don't see, there are countless out there. So anyway, whatever be the what call or different types of sentient beings who inflict harm, regarding the practice, how to do is, if one is to generate oneself as a deity, as in tantric practices, that is all right. But even if one hasn't visualized oneself in the aspect of a deity, but still one can do this practice by visualizing lights being emitted out, sending forth light in the form of a hook. And this hook light, these hook lights are what called a strike at the chest of the sentient beings, and what called draw or pull them towards you. So once you have drawn them, then you have to start talking to them, fixing them. They are like humans. There is a room, conversation is possible, because they're basically like human, you can talk to them. So now you have to start talking. So regarding the inflicting of harms, it's kind of a connection with our past life, because we had countless past lives in the past. We had countless past lives, because if we go on counting and searching out, then before this life we had taken another life before, and before that we had taken another life. So if we go on searching, the number of lives we have taken so far is countless. So because there has been countless lives we have taken in the past, therefore It's very definite that in those countless past lives, we have taken countless different forms, sometimes as leopards, as tigers, as different kinds of what I call meat-eating animals, birds, cannibals, and so forth. And during those times, we have killed other sentient beings, we have drank their blood, have eaten their what I call flesh, and have worn their skin on us. So what I call the inflicting of harm in those through those ways have been countless in those countless past lives. And as we have already inflicted harms on others, therefore, somehow there will have to be time that those inflicting of harms on others will have to be reckoned as a karmic result upon ourselves. And that reckoning of karmic result is what's happening now, that we are being inflicted harms by others. And the great compassionate teacher Buddha has said, whatever type of action is done, that type of result is to be reckoned. And that's what is basically called in the teachings of Buddha, the philosophical view, or the foundation of philosophical attitude, is based on the theory of dependent origination, dependent arising, that if you do a good action, then the result it will bring about will be good, and if you do a bad action, the result it will bring about will be bad. So because of that truth in the dependent arising way of law of nature, because of that, in this life, somehow we receive this infliction of harms by others, that others eat you, eat your flesh, drink your blood, what call chew your bones and wear your skins and so forth. So now we have to do the talking with those sentient beings who are now after you, trying to work or fix you in the form of getting the retaliatory revenge of drinking your blood and what called eating your flesh and so forth. Now you have to talk in this way. Oh, it's very true that now you're after me, my flesh, my blood, my bone, and my skin. It's very true that you all are not to be blamed because it is me who started the thing in the first place, that I have harmed you in the past. Now, because that's the truth and you are not to blame, therefore now it's all up to you, whatever you want to do with my body, I completely give it to you for those who want, among you, for those who want to have quick flesh of mine, they can have a raw flesh out of me, you can eat that. And those who want to have those who want to eat my flesh a little bit after a while, they can still take your time. They can still take time cooking it and boiling it, have it after. And those who want to have my blood, they can have my blood. Those who want to wear my skin, they can wear my skin. It is all yours, and I am completely giving it for you all, whatever you want to do with it. So at the time of doing that practices, one shouldn't think one's body in the present state of very small size. One should visualize one's body as big as what is normally called King of Mount Semeru, which is supposed to be about 1,000 miles in height. And think that one's body is as big as that, and one is sending forth one's body to these sentient beings in whatever aspect they want to have. Those who want to have flesh, they can have flesh out of it. Those who want to have what called blood, have blood. Those who want to have skin out of it. And think that this whole body in that huge shape is unending. That no matter how many of the sentient beings may, for how long, go on eating flesh, drinking blood, wearing skin, this body is unexhausting or resourceful in providing continuously to them. That's very true, because normally when we take loan of money from somebody, we have to return back together with the interest. So here, when we do what are called repaying whatever inflictions we have done in the form of drinking blood and eating flesh and so forth, we have to do or visualize thinking it's being sent for unexhaustedly, unending, because it has been for too long duration of time. So at the end, think that these sentient beings now are very much, they are very much satisfied, and because of having satisfied, now at the end, somehow their mind is transformed, that now they are with complete pure thought of love, compassion, bodhicitta. And after that, one can do the sending of sending off, as before explained before. After that, one can do the sending off lamas, teachers, teachings, and the companion, practicing companion to these sentient beings. So with these sentient beings, one do not give the practice of giving, sending for different types of things they want. Instead, to these particular group of sentient beings who are after your flesh, blood, and skin, so forth, instead of transforming one's body into wish-grinding gem, one transform it into a huge shape, still as a body, with flesh, blood, bone, and skin, and give a work or do the giving of these, because that's what they want, or that's what they are after. So tonight the explanation covered the practice of giving in relation with sentient beings, or other words, the explanation of the practice of giving to the sentient beings. And regarding the giving, it is basically of two: giving to the sentient beings and giving to the container environment. And regarding the giving to the environment, will be explained in future. And tonight the explanation is to the sentient beings, and that's about it. And there are some minutes left for questions. It's combination of both sentient beings, karma, and not decision, but what I call intention of the Buddhas. That before the Buddhas, they got enlightened, they make intention and motivation of thinking that I will be enlightened at that time of the period when sentient beings require me in specific time. And with that force of previous intention, somehow they happen to come, and at that time somehow sentient beings' karma seems to be on right, good form. not very an issue. Padungur condition, you say. Again. Padungur condition, dear.
Yeah.
Okay. Who is the friend? Is he Australian or Chinese or? No, Australian. Yes. Who is Linda? Ah, okay. Ming Hao. Ming Hao Gomez. Australian. Yes. That's very good. It indicates that he's or the person likes peace and person likes honesty, justice. No. So it's good, very good. So in Tibetan, you require what I call a specific clarification, like when you say idea of a Buddha, regarding what? A vision of Buddha being your idea that it's a Buddha or? When you get an idea that it's a Buddha, whether it's a Buddha or, yeah, or you what I call saying, oh, Buddha must be something like this. So, yeah, if you got an idea about Buddha, how you know it's true or not, and you, yeah, and so that's what I call idea about Buddha. Yeah.
Of course, Sanjie Jirona, Sanjie Daji, Sanjie Ko Koi, the Sanjie Hakoshe, Sanjie Sundan, you were today, sir, said Koi Hakoshe. Like, is it the Sanjie? You were in the Yuana, consumed the Sidung and the Yuana, you were the Sanjay.
So implication is because your idea about Buddha is Buddha has our all-knowing mind and has power, that's all excellent, and because of that he can manipulate future happenings as he knows everything. And the specific example is this South Australian state election. So even though Buddha knows before the election that who is going to win, but still Buddha will not involve in trying to manipulate whichever way he wants to. And why he wouldn't involve is because according to how things happen in a passage of time, things happen as a ripening karma. So because it's a kind of a karma being ripened, so Buddha wouldn't involve in interrupting the karma. So in the case when in election, if somebody is winning, so let's say B is winning, Buddha knows that the B is winning, but Buddha will not involve in trying to manipulate it to A side because it's time for the B, for his karma to ripen to win and to continue with his resultant experiences. insect is hungry, and that's why it's after your blood. And it would be nice to think this way, that the insect is hungry. And also, this insect has been countless times my mother in the past. And now it's time, I'm really having the occasion to repay my kindness to this insect. And with that kind of thinking, and try to have a motivation of love, compassion as well, and then think that I will do the practice of giving to this insect very well. And that's how normally the attitude has to be. And if you want to do it in the most perfect way of doing the practice in that situation, then perhaps the best way is to think this way: I'm going to attain the Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings, and for that purpose I'm now going to give my blood to this insect. And that is called the attitude of bodhicitta, precious bodhicitta, and that's the amazingly good. Sorry? If it has deadly spiders.
Because it then the Sinji Tonda Dona. Tonda Gaji two year old. That did 2 young egg Tonda the day. So you didn't catch yours. 2 young egg Tonda the day. So you didn't catch yours.
Of course, what I call mosquitoes who sing, they also have what I call poisons to some degree. But still, if you do the, if you hold the attitude of love, it wouldn't matter very much. Maybe if you are too frightened, then you can apply means like putting creams and antiseptic creams, and also put on the mosquito net and close the door. A few days ago, one night Rinpoche was sleeping, and somehow at the middle of the night, Rinpoche heard a singing mosquito around his head, and instantly Rinpoche somehow accidentally happened to scare it away, because at that time instantly Rinpoche had imagination about the situation being in India where there are too many mosquitoes, and it's quite natural sometimes to just scare away the mosquitoes by hand gestures. And so that was the imagination of India, that instantly, because it was the starting of mosquito few days ago, and instantly Rinpoche happened to do that, and it somehow disappeared. They couldn't hear it. And instantly Rinpoche felt, oh, what a terribly bad thing. I'm supposed to be a Dharma practitioner. And more than that, I'm supposed to be a great vehicle practitioner. So, oh, it has been too bad, it's so terrible. And then Rinpoche expected the mosquito to return back and waited for a while. And after a while, the mosquito came, and then Rinpoche made a strong attitude, may I attain the state of Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings. And for that purpose, I will engage in this practice of giving my blood to the mosquito. And with that, Rinpoche somehow spoke mentally, you can drink as much blood you want to drink. And after a while, there wasn't any sound at all. So do not resort to good manner or good nature to speak roughly. It says not to do physical and verbal expression in a good manner which provokes or stimulates attachment and anger in other people's mind stream. And to explain it more in depth, precise way of explanation is So to explain more precise and in-depth way of explanation is whenever afflictions, normally called delusions, whenever delusions arise, do not remain good natured, do not be lenient good natured. Instantly be harsh toward the delusions and try to apply countermeasures and what called eliminate them. And especially in this context of thought training lojong, on the afflictions or delusions refers mainly to self-cherishing and truth-grasping. So whenever these two, principally whenever these two wrong minds arise, do not be lenient, do not be good-natured, do not be too smooth, instead harsh, and just apply the antidotes, countermeasures. So most of the root texts require a lot of what called a lot of explanatory clauses, phrases. So basically this all, or the remaining part of the text will be explained by Rinpoche in future, but because you have Wakal put the question, so the three objects refer to the three objects from whom one Wakal arise, the three poisonous mind, the enemies, friend, and the stranger, so unrelated, neutral, sentient beings. And the three poisons refer to those three principal root poison, attachment, hatred, and ignorance. And the three roots of virtue refers to non-attachment, and non-ignorance, non-hatred. Anyway, will be explained afterward. So one has to stop the three poisons in relation to the three objects, and one has to meditate or practice on the three roots of virtues. So tonight we will stop here. And the root text, there is one in the advice from a spiritual friend in that book in English. But this root text, as Rinpoche explained, is very different on many, many points. And so, since maybe we have to work based on this one.